In today's episode, we discuss many topics, including the importance of mindset in competitions, how discipline leads to happiness, and how to find your true passion. So sit back, plug your headphones in, relax, stretch, do whatever you need to do, and enjoy. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Projection Podcast, and we're on episode 3.
So yeah, this week's episode with a guest was with Jim Pope. So if you haven't already listened to that, there's a lot of knowledge in there. He's a smart guy, strong climber, so yeah, I'd recommend you check that out.
Yeah, we spoke a lot about training and actual climbing and how you can use your mind to break down movements and stuff and really learn different techniques with not just doing a big move, but really focusing on why you're like pushing for your feet and what angle of your feet and stuff. So it's a good episode if for new climbers and stuff, or just people who are at a high level who don't really pay that much attention to them little things. Maybe beginners don't go into much detail and think about, and it's something that I neglected until I had that session with Jim, which really highlighted that I need to think more about my climbing and where I place feet and movement and all that stuff. So it's really cool.
Yeah, it's quite an important thing for everyone. Whilst at the top of your game, like for us, it does make a massive difference just having that awareness of body position and all that, and actually thinking about ways to improve your body position instead of just letting it happen naturally. But also at any level of climbing, that will help massively, maybe even more at the beginner level, as Jim was talking about, with climbers he sees with such poor body position and they've got no idea because they don't have the kinesthetic feedback or the motor programs formed in their head to realize that their body position is wrong. So yeah, it's quite important to think about it logically and try and really break down the movement.
Yeah, I agree. It's like when you start to do it, you become more aware, and that's where you start getting better at it, and you can look at a boulder and be like, okay, I need to fit into this box, or I need to push my foot at that exact angle. And it really makes a big difference of in a competition or just doing blocks, like it can make you flash a boulder or not even do it. So it's a big thing that everyone should pay attention and get good at. I think
it's quite different doing it in training to say a competition, like say at world championships for us, where in bouldering we go on the mats and in the finals you've got 4 minutes to do a boulder. It's quite difficult to convince yourself that taking the time to stand on the mat and look at the boulder and read it effectively, read all the body positions, is going to be more beneficial than just jumping on and gaining the knowledge physically by trying the moves, even though it is definitely worth spending time to break it down in your head. It's sometimes quite difficult when you're actually in that position to see it like that. You just think, okay, there's a crowd watching me. I mean, like the World Championship final, I can't just stand in the bottom of the wall and look at it. It's been live streamed, you've got an expectation to get straight on the wall. And quite often got a lot of adrenaline, you're really excited. So yeah, it's something that I've had to learn, is that not to get carried away in those situations is vital to having a good performance, to take a step back, chill out, really think about what you need to do, study the boulder, study the body position, and then you get on the wall and execute it first go, and that can have a huge impact on the results.
For sure. And I feel like it's something we are quite good at now, but in every competition it's different. And it's like some boulders, for example, like dynamic boulders, you maybe should have a few more goals to if you don't flash it, and it's just figuring out that movement. But it's a fine line of just trying over and over again, where it's just like you're tiring out your body and you know what to do, and your physical capability of doing that block, but you just need to take a step back and really rest and then execute it. For me at World Champs and Finals, the first boulder, it was a massive like run and jump, palm crossover and kick the foot. But I didn't do it like that. I did it like I ran and kicked the hand, jumped my foot up, matched two hands and planted the foot. And I spent so many goals on that, like 11, 8, 11, 9 or something, where maybe it helped, but I feel like I should have just took a step back and was like, I knew how to do that move, but I just repetitive went again and again and again until I did it. But and once I stuck the move, it was this is really key to being able to learn how to do this. And this is where breathing exercises help. So that first pace of the boulder was so dynamic and up pace. And then the last move was really slow and it was to a thumb catch. So I just went from really fast and I had to slow it down to get the top. But my body was like, I was so fired up, I overshot and went too fast and then didn't get the top. And that was like from podium to not podium.
Yeah, it's quite scary how close it can be at the top of a field. Like everyone is so good, it can basically come down to a single attempt or a single shift in mindset as to podium or making finals. And on that boulder in finals, I was watching and I was cheering you on. It was quite frustrating to see how obviously capable you were of doing the boulder. Like it was well within your range, like, but just seeing you so psyched to be in the finals, you won semi-finals, you won qualifications, you're coming out last in the finals. The block had been topped, you must have known that. So you must have been like full of adrenaline, all fired up, like World Championship finals. And then it looked from the outside like instead of stepping back because it was your first World Championship finals, you were so in the moment and maybe a bit overwhelmed by the whole environment. Like I know I was in the same competition in the finals, that you just kind of got carried away and kept trying it the same way over and over again. Has potential crossover with a lot of things, not just climbing related, where get stuck in a routine doing something that if you just take the time to take a step back and analyze it, you'll see that you're not doing it the most effective way.
No, yeah, for sure. But for that boulder, I did feel calm and good, and I was like, I just really thought I was gonna do that boulder that the next go. But like you said, I feel like I might have been cut off in the moment, because it's just like I knew I was could do it, and I was like, okay, let's go. But I didn't like take a step back and really chill and just get that calm mindset. And I was trying to just the whole competition, I was trying to psych myself up. And I feel like we don't need to psych ourselves up. And this is something I don't do anymore. I was like always headphones on, blasting the music. Now it's good to have music and stuff. For me, I really enjoy having music to get in that zone, but I was using it in the wrong way because we don't need to psych ourselves up. We're there to compete and we have that objective and that goal to win. So we don't need little more enhancements to be like, oh, I want to win, I want to win. Because what are we doing in the first place? We're there to
Yeah,
win.
good point. Like if you have to keep reminding yourself that you're there to win, and it's not already embedded in your psyche, then you're probably not there for the right reasons.
Yeah, innit? But I don't know. I for a whole of last year, I just for some training sessions, I was always when it was hard, I feel like you have to set yourself up. And then that would work. So I got into that thing like, oh, okay, this works, so I'm gonna keep doing it. But necessarily, that's not the answer. And it was just like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. I'm just trying to keep at a constant level. And my mindset is all the same. It's like I've set these goals out and I'd want to accomplish them. So I don't really need to set myself up. I just go and try and focus on the climbing or the training or whatever I'm doing that day. And that helps you fall into that flow state better, because to get into that flow state, which all the athletes speak about, and it's where they feel they can perform the best and they do the best climbing or whatever sport you're in, you don't think, you're kind of just like on autopilot and you're just doing it. So if you're thinking too much and overthinking and like trying to really force yourself to get in the zone, it won't happen because your brain's so switched on. So it's kind of being so laid, not so laid back, but just switching your mind off a little bit so you can able to fall
Yeah,
into that state. For me, that
I
helps a
agree
lot.
to a certain point with that, being able to switch yourself off. And whilst it is definitely helpful to have a consistent mindset throughout competitions, because it just makes it easier to adapt and it's less variables. But for me personally, I definitely do need to, in some situations, purposefully psych myself up or purposefully calm myself down, depending on the boulder, depending on my mood, depending on the time of day. So whilst, yeah, it is ideal, it would be the ideal situation to not need to do that. It would make it a lot simpler, like easier, a lot less stressful. But say I come out and I've got a really steep, powerful boulder, coordination move, or really sharp crimps, that you just need to grit your teeth and get through it basically. It doesn't really work for me to have the same mindset on that boulder as a really delicate slab where you're balancing your way along volumes or small footholds. So yeah, I find that it is definitely helpful to have a base, as you're talking about, like a state where you can consistently get yourself into and you can climb well. But it is also important to be able to fine-tune that to the demands of the environment and the boulder at hand, and all those variables that do change from block to block and from competition to competition.
Yeah, I get you with that. And for sure that's right, because you can't be like on a slab for sure. You have to be more calm. And like I said with the first Boulder World Champs, like the last move, I had to switch it down, which I didn't do. So you're totally right there.
So yeah, something that goes hand in hand with that, I think, is having confidence in your own ability to climb well on these competition routes and be able to adapt on the fly.
For sure.
Yeah, so when we were out for World Championships, we stayed out in Austria training at Innsbruck after the Youth Cup in Imst that me and Max were competing at. So we stayed out for, I think, a month before even going across to Arco for the World Champs. So yeah, in that time when you're out there, a lot of people stayed out to train at Innsbruck, one of the best climbing facilities in the world, for World Champs at Arco. So I was constantly like surrounded by my competitors and people that I'm competing against, people in other categories, really strong climbers, which is quite rare for me, training in York on my own mostly. So yeah, I think being there and seeing who I'm competing against climbing on the same routes in training really allowed me to build my confidence for World Championships, just because I could see that I am at the same standard or a higher standard than people that otherwise I would just have to wait until competition to see that. So yeah. That was a big thing for me. Not only knowing I'm strong enough, but knowing I'm good enough on competition style routes.
I feel I was like the opposite, because do you remember, like, I was like, but I was constantly saying, oh, I don't feel good, because I remember training with Nikolai and some guy from Australia, no, South Africa even, and I'm like, I didn't feel that, like, I wasn't outperforming them, I wasn't feeling that strong, and I was constantly kind of in this like doubt in my head. I was like, I should be feeling pretty good, but I just didn't feel that like bounce and that fire, and maybe wasn't as where I wasn't where I wanted to be at that time when I was away. But then it all, I just had to trust my what I was doing, and it all worked out. And for world champs, I felt like amazing. I didn't even feel like the same shape I was in like the past 2 weeks, because I felt like shit basically. And then when I was actually at World Champs, I felt really good and just full of energy and focused and strong. And yeah, it was quite weird, and it was kind of hard to deal with leading up into the comp, because like for my Europeans that year, I was just training at London or training in Aberdeen, and then I'd be feeling really good and I'd go out and I'm like, oh, okay, I can do this. But when I was out for 2 weeks, or 2 months, even before a month in Innsbruck,
Yeah, we're in Innsbruck, bro. But yeah, about a month. Let's just call it a month.
yeah, a month. It wasn't, I didn't have that same feeling. I was like, I felt maybe I was underprepared, but for Europeans, even I was overprepared. I trained too hard. And I remember for Graz that at the start of the year, like 3 days before the competition, I did Eugenie's conditioning as well as my own conditioning. And then I, like 3 days before the comp, I could only do like three pull-ups because I was so fatigued, and that is just not what you want to do. So yeah, that's
That
some.
might come down to like goal setting, because your whole year you're basically leading up to this one competition. This is like the pinnacle of the year for both of us, really. So yeah, all your focus and training is on performing well at this one competition. So even if in training you're not feeling like you're there yet, it's completely different when you're actually in the moment that you've been preparing yourself for a whole year. Like, you don't really know how you're going to react or what's going to happen, but so much time spent visualizing yourself flashing all the final boulders, standing on the podium at this one competition, this one event that your whole year's been leading up to. It's completely different when you're actually there. Like, you compared to when you're in training, you kind of turn on a mode that you don't really have in training. You unlock different levels of focus, different like strength you didn't know you had. It's quite crazy to go from, as you were saying, in training, you maybe not feeling the best, not prepared the most, like all this self-doubt. But then when you're actually there, standing on the mat or pulling on, you're not thinking about any of that, and you just know that you're there to do what you've been planning for the whole year, basically.
Yeah, for sure. But then again, I feel like I didn't feel that good, so it was easy to say, okay, I'm gonna take time off or whatever. And sometimes it's good to take if you're feeling really fatigued, but I wasn't feeling that fatigued. I was just wasn't feeling that I was just wasn't peaking. And of course I wasn't peaking. It was like 2 weeks before the comp. So I was like, I was just starting to. And it's quite easy to feel like, oh, maybe I should be taking days off or whatever. But then and you just have to really trust your plan and whatever, your plan, your coach, and stick to it, because they're the higher authority in this, isn't it? They're like the people who are making you or whatever, because you're just like, they're the cook, they're the chef, okay? And you're like, you're the meal, and they're just putting all the seasonings in, like this the spices, and just making you the best dish you can be for the competition, basically.
Never heard that analogy before, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, I
Obviously,
like it.
yeah.
But yeah, if you like overcook the meal, you're gonna burn out in it, and it's gonna not taste good, and you won't get the result. So I heard this quote which I really like, and it's like, it takes confidence to have a rest day. So it's like, if you know your body needs that extra day off, then you should take it. Because I've felt like this before, and certainly before grads last year, I was so tired from training too much, and I wish I took an extra day off or whatever, because that would have really done me a lot better than that extra day. But you get into this thing where you're like, I need to train, I need to do this session. But sometimes, yeah, you do need to do that session, because you can't just be a bitch basically. And when you're feeling tired, be like, oh, I don't feel good, so I'm not going to train today. And it's really f finding that balance between pushing it and not pushing it.
It's a really
And that.
difficult thing to balance. I totally agree. Because, say, you do feel like you need a rest day, and you take a rest day, then personally, I would be thinking, am I just saying I need a rest day because I'm not committed, or do I actually need a rest day? Is this a smart move, or am I copping out? Like, it's quite hard to see if you're tricking yourself into having a rest day because you're lazy, or if you actually do need a rest day, that's the best tactical move to reach your goals. So yeah, it's constant dialogue in your head when you're taking a session off or taking it easy in training. Like, is this the best thing to be doing, or are you just making excuses?
Yeah, for sure. And it's so hard to do that. And like, I need to do that. I've been needing to do that like the past week, because in lockdown, and just before lockdown as well, and this is like right now is where our comps should have been. So we would be, well, I would have had my first comp, I think. So or really close to it. So we would have been like tapering off and not training as hard as we're doing right now. So yeah, I feel like my body was really battered from the whole pre-season training, which I didn't get to taper off from. And it's like I had to take it easy, and it's like knowing how hard not to push, because yesterday I was doing my conditioning set, and then like on the push-ups or pull-ups or whatever I was doing, it's like I could try really hard here, but I don't want to overdo it. And it's like, what is the line? And that's just what you have to play about with. And being a elite athlete or whatever, you're going to hit these obstacles in your path. And it's normal, because if you're pushing your body so hard constantly to get these goals, then you're going to have little niggles, you're going to have tweaks and stuff, which you need to fix. And in the training we're doing now, we're always on the board. So if my finger was a little sore, we would normally like do maybe a few slabs sessions the next 2 days. But right now we can't really do that. So maybe we're feeling more niggles now than we would have been if we were in normal training.
Yeah, I would tend to agree there. When you've got limited facilities, limited exercises you can be doing, as you're saying, limited climbing styles, for us, it's hard not to push it too much, because I would usually climb 6 days a week, but of those days, I would maybe have two board sessions. But now I can only have board sessions, so I'm not going to have six board sessions a week, but I'm also not going to have two board sessions a week. I need middle ground where I'm still training and getting benefits from training, but I'm not pushing myself so hard that I'm going to get injured. Because it's, you never know how far away you are from an injury. They just, you just keep pushing, you keep pushing, you keep pushing, and it feels like you go forever. Oh, I'm going to have another board session today, I feel fine. And then all of a sudden, you got a ruptured pulley or whatever, or your tendons are fucked. Like, it's difficult to find the balance between training too hard and Yeah, overcooking and undercooking a meal, as Max would say.
Oh, I love that, you know. That's sick.
Is it your own, or did you steal it?
I kind of stole it from Israel Adesanya,
Oh, yeah.
who is a UFC fighter. His yeah, there's a video on YouTube. I'll send you it later. It's like him in his little like shed of a garage with his like striking coach, and he was just saying, yeah, the seven spices, the seven herbs and spices of making a fighter. I really liked it, so I stole it.
Yeah, there's always a lot to learn from different sports, and it's interesting to see that they're also finding ways to train at home. I guess climbing is one of the hardest sports to train at home for because it's not that easy to have a climbing wall. And I know the vast majority of climbers or people who climb probably don't have a climbing wall at their house. It's only something you really get when you're at the very top of the sport. It's not really, I don't know, it's not going to get much use if you climb twice a week or something. So yeah. It's quite, yeah, quite interesting to see how people are coping with that. Different exercises people are doing, different like strength-based challenges people are figuring out to stay in shape, stay strong. I guess it's going to be quite hard in this time when you're only allowed out once a day to motivate yourself as well, to get up, find the energy to think of some exercises to do. Instead of just doing the easy stuff like going to a gym, there's a specific machine to get your biceps bigger. When you're at your house, you have to get a bit creative, and it's just, yeah, generally not as easy.
No, it's not. But I feel like that's just dedication, isn't it? If you're really driven and want to come out this isolation and better, like the best you could have done, then everyone who's listening to this now, you're on phone or whatever, listening to it on whatever platform, so you have access to the internet. So you could be learning, okay, so I can't really go to the gym, I can't really do my lat pull downs. So what exercise could I be doing to activate them lats? You could be doing like pull-ups. So you could find a tree or whatever. You could do wide pull-ups and activate that muscle. So I don't feel like, yeah, maybe we can help with this. So we can tell some climbing related exercises which people can do at home.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, because otherwise you'll just keep making excuses that you don't have a gym in your house, so you're not going to train, or you don't have a climbing wall, so you're just going to have to rest. There's always going to be stuff you can do. So yeah, we'll give you some exercises to do.
For me, I feel like running. Running's good, but not overdoing it. I'm going for like medium pace, nice long runs for like 20 to half an hour, maybe a bit more. That's just good doing that however times a week. But not only for your cardio and building a good work capacity, but also mental health as you're getting outside. And it's really nice to do so, as in the UK at the moment it's pretty hot and sunny, and it's nice to take advantage of that. And with going for runs, you're building up your mileage and work capacity. So once you start to climb, you can climb more and make the most out of climbing once that opens up, I feel.
Yeah, also not only like strength based exercises are gonna help with climbing, there's other aspects to climbing such as like balance. Like now's a perfect time to do some yoga, do some stretching, do all the off the wall activities that you never get a chance to when you're at the climbing wall because you're distracted by the brightly coloured holds. You know, it's there's a lot more that goes into it that it's very easy to forget about in your day-to-day life when we're not inside a global pandemic. Now, take some time to work on the things that you never really get around to doing in day-to-day life. Yeah, so stretching, yoga, mobility work, all of that.
Yeah, man. And I feel like doing all these animal walks are really good for like the full body strength and mobility. So I'd recommend doing them, and you can just find heaps of them on YouTube and stuff. So it's just like for people who don't really know what animal walks are, just type it on YouTube and I'm sure you can find some. And me and Hamish can, if you leave comments or whatever, we could even give some demonstrations on some exercises if people really want and who are lost for some stuff. So we can.
Good idea. Yeah, if you tell us what equipment you've got or what you've got available to you, we'll be able to give you a hand, design some exercises you can do. We can post on our Instagram a couple examples for you to try at home.
Yeah, I've been really liking all these Instagram challenges. I think that's well good that everyone's coming together on like social media and sharing all these funny stuff. I hope it keeps going after isolation, you know, except for all the annoying ones, which I fucking don't have time for. But the good ones, which are like really beneficial, like if you go on Miho, her Instagram. No. Scrap that. Akio. I meant Akio. Sorry. So yeah, if you go onto Akio's Instagram, it's not Akio, it's Miho. No, it is. No, it is Akio. Oh man, I'm getting very confused with their names, you know. You need so yeah, if you go on Akio, her Instagram, she did like these exercises which are like mobility and bouncy and really more leg work, but I tried them out and they're so hard. Like, I feel like people just look at them and like, oh, that's cool, but like the proper way she's doing them, like, is nails. I was trying to do it in the kitchen downstairs the other, like the other night, and I was literally almost falling over. It was nails.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what type of skills other people have that you don't. The stuff you never even think about.
That's what I miss about training with people. It's like you can just look at each other and just like relearn. And I miss that. I really like that.
Yeah, that's one of the more difficult things about this whole situation, but we've been combating that by FaceTiming each other when training and kind of very easy to do, even if you're just doing like push-ups at home. Just get some friends that are also doing it, FaceTime them all, and yeah, it just makes it, first of all, a lot easier to do when you've got other people who are doing it with you. You're less likely to cop out like half-ass it. So yeah, first of all, it's easier to physically do. It's more fun. Like, it's nice to chat to people again, see people that you don't necessarily or you haven't seen in a while. And yeah, it just makes it feel a bit more normal. It kind of makes us, yeah, makes this whole situation seem a bit less scary.
Yeah, man, I agree. And like, I feel like in the greater, like, bigger picture, I feel like this is lockdown's been pretty good for us because I don't think we would have started this podcast if we hadn't been forced into lockdown. And I'm really excited to see what happens with that because I really enjoy doing it. Like, this morning I was sitting, like, when I was meditating, all I was thinking about was like doing the podcast. And I was like, oh, I want to say this, I want to say that. And I was writing it down. And I was like, no, I need to like try and clear my mind. And it's just adding, like, yeah, it's enjoyable to do these.
Yeah, I really like it. I feel like the future as well, it won't be exclusively limited to podcasts. Like we're thinking of expanding onto YouTube with little videos, like more of a brand than a podcast per se. But yeah, we're obviously going to carry on with these like once or twice a week, each week. Yeah, when we're living with each other as well next year, hopefully. Training needs, it'll be a lot easier to get content out. And yeah, we have quite interesting lives, so we may as well film it and record it.
Yeah, and just make it like, I feel like we're quite entertaining people as well. And if we're together, we just bounce off each other. So it's going to be funny to record and see what people think about our lifestyle and our choices because we just really sacrifice quite a lot. But, well, to the non-elite level climbers who aren't making the big sacrifices. Well, other people will look at us and feel like we're making big sacrifices of not going out with friends as much, staying in the gym for like hours every day. And for us, it's not a big sacrifice, but other people they'll be like, why are they doing that? So I think that would be quite
Yeah,
cool.
I didn't see it as a sacrifice, really, anyway. I mean, it's a decision that I haven't had some experiences, but in doing so, I've given opportunity for other experiences to arise. And that's basically all you can ever do is just choose a path. And the only real choice you get is to what extent you commit yourself to that. Yeah, I think in committing like such a lot of our lives to climbing, we've had way more experiences, way more extreme experiences, fulfilling experiences than if we just went out with our mates every Wednesday or whatever, pound the pine. It's not quite as fulfilling, like not just in the moment, but as a greater thing. I feel great sense of meaning in climbing and dedicating yourself to something and yes, sacrificing some things is kind of, it gives you more freedom in a way by dedicating your life to one thing and having discipline. It gives you, yeah, strangely more freedom than if you don't set yourself such big goals, don't sacrifice anything, don't discipline yourself to train when you don't want to. It might seem a bit counterintuitive that I feel a lot more free than I know I would if I didn't have such big dedication.
Yeah, for sure. And I had this quote written down in my book, and it was like, dedication equals freedom. And that's literally, that's what you were saying, because it's like, it does equal freedom, because not maybe not physical, but in your mind is, I mean, because if you're doing what you say you're doing, and like, okay, so I'm going to do this training every day, I'm not going to eat this food, or I'm going to stick to my diet. And then it's like, the day you're like, oh nah, just I'll eat this, and then you have them thoughts, you're like, oh, I wish I didn't do that. I'm being dedicated and sticking to your thing, you're free from them thoughts, and you're always like, yeah, I'm glad I did that today, even though I didn't feel up to it, I didn't feel physically ready, like I wasn't as recovered from last session as I could have been, but I got up and did it. And then you're free from them thoughts of where you're like, oh, today I slacked off. And I feel when you have less of them thoughts, you're more happy.
It was Eliud Kipchoge who's got the first sub 2 marathon time, which he got quite recently last year. He was saying that you have to be disciplined to be free, which is basically exactly what we were saying and linking with what you just said, is that he was saying that if you're undisciplined, then I think he said you're a slave to your emotions or you're a slave to your passions. So yeah, it's quite important to discipline yourself and sacrifice yourself just to free yourself from doubt and free yourself from like fear of wasting your life, fear yourself, fear of not achieving your goals. So yeah, they are way bigger and way more intense feelings of discomfort than simply the physical discomfort of lactic acid buildup from training. You know, that is completely dwarfed by the potential fear of guilt, potential feeling of guilt or doubt in your mind that you half-assed a training session, you didn't push yourself to your limit, and over a long time you've half-assed a life and you haven't pushed yourself to the limit. So yeah.
Man, I love that. That is sick. Mad. I was sitting there like my mouth wide open just hearing what you're saying. And oh my God, it's so true, isn't it? Like, honestly, mad. That got me psyched.
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy. I've learned quite a lot from just watching like an hour documentary on him. He's yeah, really down to earth, really smart guy. Like he's one of the most elite athletes in the world. Like he's just broken a record that's been standing for years, such a massive milestone in the sport. But he doesn't live like a glamorous life as such. He lives and he trains in a communal, like running school. Like he has a little bedroom, lives with his family, like sees his family. That's like his biggest pleasures in his life, rather than taking all the advertisement opportunities that he could have. Instead, he prefers the disciplined lifestyle, and I think he's wise beyond his years.
Yeah, he is. Like, he's just living that fulfilling life and following his goals and dreams and not like worrying about, he's not getting caught up in this materialistic life, which I see so many people wishing and wanting. Like, you see little kids and they look up to these rappers who like have all these big chains and like all these, the cars, the flashy lifestyle, which when there's so much famous people with mental health issues and like they still commit suicide and stuff, and it's just some people will just feel like, oh, if I get this car, I'll be happy, but it's not true, innit? And you have to find your passion and what thinks what really makes you tick.
Living simply and not having all those materialistic things in your life, not having a really flashy car, it frees you from a lot of worries and a lot of judgment and always comparing yourself against others. It's kind of a, when you get into that situation where you're thinking, is this like you see that as your identity, you see your wealth as your identity instead of your physical success and how you feel and your own personal identity. You start to label yourself as what you own, which is never healthy.
Nah, and I feel like you can do that in sport as well, and just feel like this climbing makes you as a person or whatever, which is a dangerous thing, I think, because then you don't have the, because what after climbing? Like, you
Yeah.
know what I mean? It's like we are good at this. We are naturally talented as well, but we're good at this because we work hard and we are driven, and this is our passion.
Yeah, that's a bit. Yeah, I don't really know where I stand on that. You're good at it because you work hard. I think you definitely are good at it because you work hard, but I think it also has a lot to do with luck and genetics and stuff that is completely out of your control. Although it may not be as comfortable to attribute all your successes and your whole identity to something out of your control, I think it is an underappreciated part of success is luck and being born into the right environment and the right circumstance.
And the right family, and like being born in Britain where we was, is crazy, isn't it? When you once you start to get that deep, you realize how lucky you really are, I feel, and not a lot of people think that deep.
There's so many small intricacies that have led you to be where you are today. And I'd say the vast majority of them were not conscious decisions by you. They were, oh, I was born in this street, so I went to this school which had a climbing wall. So at the little school, the little climbing wall in the playground, I used to really enjoy going on that, which made me want to climb trees. So because I was climbing everything, my parents took me to a climbing wall. So that's how I got into climbing. Like, if you really break it down, there's going to be so many tiny factors that led to you climbing or you discovering your passion. And a lot of people aren't lucky enough to discover their true passion or they really want to dedicate their life to. So yeah, although it may not be necessarily you the whole way that got you here, it's definitely important that you relish the opportunity that you've been given, all these tiny circumstantial, all these tiny events that have led to you discovering climbing and you being so passionate about something. The fact that you found that at such a young age, the fact that I found that at such a young age, it would be a complete waste not to carry on doing it and make the most of our fortune.
Yeah, man. And there's like so much variables which we'll never know about, like little things what happened in our life which led us to do this, to make that decision, and we'll never even discover or be conscious about, which is crazy as well, isn't it?
It's very crazy, but it is. I
Deep,
mean, it
man.
really is when you look at it and you start to think that it's a kind of an illusion that you're in control of your own destiny. You're in control of certain parts of it, but a lot of it is due to chance. And I guess that's what happens when you're in an indifferent universe. I mean, you're not necessarily meant to do anything. You're not. I don't believe you're here to be a crime. I don't believe you're here to do this or do that. I think you're here. And if you're really good at climbing and you really enjoy it, then it's probably a good idea to keep doing it, you know?
Yeah, man, because you never know what tomorrow brings, in it. Like, you just have to focus on today and keep doing what you're doing and keep enjoying the time
Yeah,
we have, in it.
exactly. Whew.
Mate, that has just gone
Yeah, it
deep.
always is. Yeah, even though we are here and we're doing what we love, it is still quite easy, I think, and a lot of people do waste an opportunity like this. So yeah, how do you think, or like, what do you think the best way is to make sure you don't lose sight of this?
Well, I feel like it's so important to set little goals for yourself and big goals, and which remind you of why you're putting yourself through this hard work, which could be in sport, in business, in your job. It's just like whatever, like, because sometimes, and it's also good to come back to that childhood feeling of climbing and that euphoria and that excitement which it brings us, because that's where we discovered the passion and knew this is why we want to do that, because of the enjoyment it gives us. And that's why we want to achieve such big things, because we enjoy doing this and we want to be world champion. So setting that goal of being a world champion, it motivates you even more to keep doing what you've done for such a long time and not lose sight in
Yeah,
that dream.
I think we've got to a point where we love climbing so much and we've set such big goals and we've achieved some of them that no matter what happens, even if I wake up tomorrow and I can't really climb anymore, like, I don't know, it's just gone. I go to competitions, I come last, I'm still not going to stop climbing just because I do get so much enjoyment out of it. And I think that's what makes us quite dangerous competitors when we're not only here for the external goals. Like, we're not just here for a trophy or a title. We're here because we love what we do and we want to be the best. Like, more than just wanting a trophy. I know we dedicated so much of our lives to it and we're still enjoying it. I think that means something more than just pursuing a trophy or a gold medal or whatever. If you're truly passionate about something, that you're willing to dedicate your entire life to it, even if you're not getting paid. I think that's quite a scary thing to compete with.
And it's like you always get asked that question of like, how do I motivate myself, like, to do this, to do that? And it's like, is what you're wanting to get motivated for, does that even motivate you? Because it's like you can't get motivated for something you don't like or enjoy. It's if you find that true passion, then you don't really need too much external motivation, like saying, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. Let's like remind myself how, yeah,
Yeah, but at the same
I don't
time, we
know.
might just have been very lucky to discover a passion straight away. Like, there might be some people who've been climbing for 5 years, say, but They just haven't been in the right circumstances or climbed with the right groups or been to the right places to discover that it is truly their passion. You know, I think it, although, yeah, for us, it was basically an immediate thing, I think for a lot of people, it could take more time.
Yeah, man. Just like falling in love, innit? You don't just fucking fall in love straight away, I don't think. And it's just like falling in love with everything. I feel like it takes time. Just like falling
Yeah.
in love with climbing. It doesn't just happen straight away because ever since we were like little kids, we'd be climbing trees, rocks, houses, like buildings, all that stuff. And that's led us to what you were saying, led us
Yeah.
to go climbing and be like, oh, I love this. This is gonna be my passion. I'm gonna keep doing this my life, my life. But all them little things beforehand led us
Yeah,
to
like I've been
discovering it.
climbing for a long time. When if someone asked me if I want to be the climbing world champion or I don't know, the world champion of another sport or a professional footballer or a singer or whatever, I wouldn't really have been able to differentiate the different type of enjoyment that I get from climbing. Like it was definitely a hobby and I definitely loved it, but only when you've been doing it for a certain amount of time and you've been sticking with it and you're still enjoying it, can you see that it's different to just the idea of pleasure or the idea of being famous or whatever. Yeah, it's kind of different now. I think that also makes it such a big part of my life is that it isn't externally driven in any way.
Nope, because you do this because you want to do it, not like your family wants you to do it or whatever. Because I remember my dad is like my whole family, like dad, sister, brother, they'd always be like, "Yeah, but what are you gonna do for a job? What where are you gonna work and stuff?" I'm like, "I'm not gonna work. I'm just gonna climb." And it's like, say that's such a young age. It's like you program that into your. Into your brain and into your head, and it's like goes into your. You don't even consciously think about it. And I feel like you speak it into reality. Like if you tell yourself so much, then I feel like it
Yeah.
can happen. I really think that's true. Like, what's it called? Oh, it was on the tip of my tongue. Wait a second.
Who's it
Oh man,
by?
I can't remember. Oh, that's.
Oh.
I don't know. Conor McGregor goes on about it all the time. All right, I've got it. The law of
Oh, yeah.
attraction. So, like, if you're saying this stuff, or like, the more we train, the more that gold medal is attracted to us. You know what I mean? Because we're getting better, we're improving. The more we do all that hard work in the gym, but also outside the gym, the more we get better and we're more lucky. We will be, and the more success we will have.
Yeah, like making your own luck instead of, as I was saying earlier, just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, because you're never going to become world champion by waiting for it. You have to go out and
Yeah, a hundred
work for
percent.
it.
That's kind of combining our two philosophies that yeah, it is not necessarily completely down to you, but you can definitely increase the likelihood of good things happening to you. That's basically all you can do. Put all the hours in, train as smart as you can, train as hard as you can, and then from that, whilst it's not a guarantee that you're going to be world champion or you're going to be the best climber in the world, you're going to be the best whatever in the world, it definitely increases the likelihood. It's like each session you buy a lottery ticket, you know, you're never going to be guaranteed to win, but the more hours you put in, the more likely you are.
Yeah, man, for sure. We're just firing quotes after quotes, and just I hope people could like be motivated by this and realize like they can do more and set goals and really follow their passion, or maybe go out and try new things to find their passion if they
Yeah.
don't know what it is, because that'd
Yeah,
be
I know. I
awesome.
would definitely have benefited from something like this when I was younger, and, or not necessarily age-wise, but just in my development. When you have a lot of questions, like, is this actually what I want to do? Am I stupid dedicating all my time to this? All of that. just to see that you're not the only one thinking about it. And maybe not necessarily to get answers from listening to someone else, but certainly to make you question yourself. And I don't know, just to, yeah, just to show that you're not the only one thinking about it, you're not the only one with these worries or these problems. Yeah, I really hope it does help, and also is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, you get a lot of people saying these negative stuff of that, and it's like even teachers, they'd be like, "Oh, you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket." But if it's a good basket, like, man, go for
Yeah, I would
it. You
always
know what
put
I
all my
mean?
eggs in one basket. Otherwise, you got to carry two baskets. You know, it's a lot easier to balance one.
Nah, totally nah.
Okay, do you want to wrap up soon?
So I think we're gonna wrap up there. We've been speaking for quite a while, and I hope everyone has enjoyed it. And if you have, let us know in the comments on Instagram or favorite the podcast on Anchor. That we'd really appreciate that, because it just gives us more feedback that people are enjoying it, and we'll carry on making more content for you to listen to.
Gucci. Well, yeah, thank you very much, and we will see you next time.
Yeah, peace out. Bop, 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 bop. Okay,
Yeah.
mind you. Are we going
Bye.
now?